French, just take us through. You've had some great rotations between here and Atlanta, but how does this one compare for you?
I mean, depth-wise, I don't know that we've ever been in a position to have 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 double digits, guys that we like have a ton of belief in and confidence in that they're going to pitch innings for us this year. And this is a playoff caliber team, you know, with talent, the skill level that we have. So, yeah, it's a really, really good problem to have. It's, you know, how do you fit these pieces of the puzzle together to make this whole thing work for 162 games? But, yeah, it's a good issue to have. Now, trying to keep everybody consistent, healthy, like that's another deal in and of itself. But yeah, it's a good problem.
Four of the five guys in the rotation have gotten a Cy Young vote in their career. The one who hasn't is Shane Baz pitching today, and he's somebody that you guys believe has that potential. What is it about Shane that makes you guys think he has that upside?
He's got the like the aptitude of a veteran, you know, like an older guy, and I think, you know, coming up in Pittsburgh for just a little bit, but getting to Tampa where he spent so much time, like he spoke about with Eflin and Kittredge and the guys that he grew up around, I think he started to think about the right things much earlier in his career than a lot of other guys do, where you can get a little bit more granular, a little bit more like technical about your game. But when you hear Andrew Kittredge talk about how important OO is to him and winning strike one, same with Zach Eflin, like that stuff trickles down to the clubhouse. And when guys are talking about things like that, that's what we love about Bassett and these older guys and, you know, the guys Bradish and Rogers who've kind of grown up in this more nuanced era of baseball. But you still have to think the right things and believe in the right things that help you win games, and they have to scale.
Drew, how do you guys plan to monitor the workload of Kyle Bradish this year as he, you know, gets back to being fully healthy?
Yeah.
Back to fully healthy, but the innings load.
I mean, obviously, like, the big leagues is the octagon, you know, and so you always have one eye on it. There's things, tangible things, objective things that you're obviously you're monitoring, you're looking at, but you're also talking to the player, and you're also talking to the people around the player that are hearing from him in the training room, in the weight room, and the things that are showing up there. And I think collectively, we're just going to try to do the best job that we can for him. And obviously, as we spoke about the depth earlier, like if we need to spell him at times, if we need to go to a six man at times, you know, Chris Bassett has been well known for like jumping in front of guys to help get alleviate for an extra day. So we have a lot of kind of insurance policies, we feel like, you know, both in this clubhouse and in the organization.
How tough was it to send Dean Kramer down?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most difficult things I've ever been a part of, certainly emotional for a lot of people. And, you know, it's just a reality. It's, you know, the CBA and it's the rules of the game, and you're trying to make the best decision for your overall organization, your overall team. And as much as it hurts, as much as we miss and we love Dean, we know that he's going to be putting one foot in front of the other, and when the time is right, he's going to be impactful for this team to get where we want to go.
The way Trevor Rogers pitched last year, there was almost a little sense of how does he keep getting away with this? I mean, it's not the strikeout rate, ground ball rate, the velo, mid-90s. I mean, what about Trevor Rogers do you think is sustainable for him to be a true front rotation starter for a full season?
Yeah, I mean, 18 starts and what he did, I mean, I think that sample size is pretty big enough to know that it works. Against all different kinds of offenses, against the guys who are disciplined, against flatter bat guys, against steeper bat angle guys, like it worked, you know. And he's got stuff inside of his arsenal that when you look at it in a kind of a vacuum, you don't realize how unique that the guy is, and the angles that hitters have to respect with him, and the ability to be more of a lower slot guy but have some front to back in his game with the breaking balls that offset the changeup and the fastball. You know, not to mention that the guy commands the fastball at a pretty elite clip. And you know, so I think when you start there, like that's the first box that you need to check. And as long as that continues to run the rock for him, that we feel like the other stuff's going to fall in line. But we're really proud of the consistency of the breaking balls and like the work that he put in this offseason. And you can see it show up in day one with his ability to backdoor against a heavy right-handed lineup, and then using some of them later in the at-bat just to balance like the timing and stuff. So, yeah, I think that we've not seen the best version of him yet.
How impressive was Anthony Nunez's debut yesterday? Do you see him as kind of a guy who can pitch his way into higher leverage?
100%. Yeah. I spoke about Shane's aptitude. This guy's got a similar aptitude. I believe when you look at a guy who's, you know, drafted as a position player and somebody who's had to throw the ball across the diamond from a really far distance, you know, to a first baseman and be accurate doing that. Like, we feel like the strike throwing and the command is going to be something that's going to be pretty much automatic for him. Getting comfortable, like, didn't seem like he had any issues doing that. He's got real weapons. He's got angles that are very, very unique. So, yeah, this is a guy that we can foresee kind of walking his way up into more leverage for sure.
At what point, either leading up to the deadline or after the deadline when they acquired him, did you maybe just take a look and see a video and watch one of those sliders against a high A hitter and kind of dream about what he could be in the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, you see the stuff, but you also see, you know, like what he did to Jeffers yesterday with like the quick pitch slider to wipe him out. He's playing a little bit different game than other guys are, you know, where it seems like he's out there legitimately almost playing a video game and having a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, how he was walking up and down the dugout in between inning one and inning two, and his conversation with me and his conversation with me after the game and then this morning, you're just like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like and feels like. And, you know, he's not kind of looking over his shoulder as to who's coming for his job or what's the next reason why I may not succeed. Like, this guy is just, he's confident, he's believing in himself, and yeah, he's gonna be a foreman to watch for sure.
You kept a bunch of the minor league starters late into spring training, Gibson and Germán and DeLeon and Wells. How close to major league ready do you think that they are?
Oh, I mean, time would tell, and I don't think we would know until they were here doing it, because of what these guys, what the day in the life of a major league starter looks like on game day, and then like the 4 and 5 days in between, is really the definition of who these guys are going to be. Yeah, I feel like each of them have 2 to 3 things that I feel like they do really, really well. Being in camp a long time gave us an opportunity to know them and kind of see how they go about their work. And we valued them being around our major league coaching staff and our you know, trainers and our strength coaches and the attention that they were getting from these people. So, you know, how close are they? I think they're all really, really close. But I think the margin's really, really thin and really, really small. And I don't think we'll really know until they get here. But they've been raised the right way and they've been brought up the right way. And they're guys that, you know, we want them to believe in the right things and think about the right things at the right time. And that's probably the hardest thing to do in this sport right now as a pitcher.
When you mentioned the 6-man rotation, is Tyler Wells definitively a reliever? Does he have a chance at that swingman role we've seen him in before?
I mean, I think if we got to that point, maybe. But, you know, after you, you know, get down the path of not throwing multiple innings and not having consistently, you know, 50 or more pitches, you kind of detrain a guy to do that job. So we see him as a really important piece to the back end of our bullpen right now. And so I think with what we have in AAA and the group that we have here that's, you know, so far so good, that's healthy, we believe he's probably more fit for that role right now.
I'm not sure how frequently Shane Bosman has thrown a two-seamer, but what do you like about adding that pitch to his arsenal, or his sinker, whatever he calls it?
You know what? I mean, more than the sinker than anything, I love how he wants to pitch inside. I love how aggressively he talks about wanting to get in on guys. So I don't think that this pitch is to supplement his ability to throw the ball in to right-handed hitters, but maybe creates a little bit more space for his breaking balls away. I've really liked the development and kind of like the timeline of what this has looked like since we brought it up to him in the offseason and to this point. But we're not asking him to do anything really, really cute with it. So it's just basically, you know, be a chainsaw. It's going to move arm side. Trust that it's going to be into a righty, away to a lefty, and this is why we're going to use it, because we're going to do X, Y, and Z afterwards.
Helsley looked fantastic in that first outing there. He's talked about how, you know, he was kind of maybe tipping pitches in New York. Do you feel like it was just a couple of mechanical tweaks for him to get him back to being the dominant closer he is?
Yeah, I do feel like it's not even a couple mechanical tweaks. I feel like it's a tiny turn of a screw here and there. We've loved the process with him. We've loved his ability to focus on the right things in camp, and you've seen him, you know, throwing a few more curveballs to left-handed hitters to start some at bats, and you've seen the split kind of be unleashed. Especially, you know, everybody, you know, develops a pitch in the off season, but who brings that thing into opening day with him? And you saw the split with Helsley. It's a very real option for him. he can command the fastball. He can throw the slider anytime. The curveball's been great, 0-0, to get ahead. And the split's a potential wipeout pitch. So, like, this guy's not only a 100-mile-an-hour arm, but a really, really good mover, a guy who controls the running game. And, like, he just kind of compartmentalizes everything that you want the closer to be.
Grant Wolfram had a great spring. What maybe role do you envision him in the bullpen, and how excited are you to see what he can do this season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Aiken out, you know, and you're looking at a guy who can really defend himself against left-handed hitters. So he should be one of the first guys that gets the opportunity against that pocket later in the game. And we've had him up a couple of times the last couple of days, and he should find his way into the game today. But yeah, this should be our left-handed, you know, chainsaw for those types of pockets. And the definition of the breaking balls has been really important for him, but like the belief and, you know, just like his ability to learn that he can do this job. You know, as hard as it may not appear from the outside, like 12 games in a row for a reliever, you know, being on every single day, like sitting down there, never knowing when your number's going to be called unless you're told you're down. It's a tough psychological job, and it's not the physical job, but it's a psychological job that sometimes guys have to get over. And he learned a lot about himself last year, and so I feel like that's just a springboard for him to be really good for us in 26.
Is there a moment last year that you can point to that made you kind of open your eyes to Wolfram? For me, it was striking out Juan Soto. Was there a moment last year where you go, hey, this can be a legitimate weapon in the bullpen?
Yeah, probably same to me. I think the Juan Soto, I think that was it. But, you know, honestly, I met with him in the offseason prior, and we were trying to make him an O earlier than he was an O. So I got to know him a little bit, and he's got the same agent as a couple of our guys already. So just getting to know him, you know, really, really early on, I was a big fan when we met initially, and he went a different route. But, you know, ultimately all roads lead to Baltimore, so it's good to have him.
Pitchers don't really develop without a catcher, so adding Conger and Singley, what's that been like for you guys?
We have done an unbelievable job of creating like conduit to our battery, and when you're talking about that relationship between the pitcher and the catcher, we doubled down on that a bunch in spring training, and this is probably the most involved we've made catchers, and having them understand our pitchers and our pitching staff and our philosophies and reviewing things. So what you've seen up to this point is a ton of work behind the scenes from Klimek and our analysts and those guys. But it's really, really important. I think it's the relationship that matters the most in baseball. So how do we create a much tighter unit where we may use, I don't know how many guys, we used like 37 pitchers last year. You know, and the average team is using 12 starters. That's a lot for Rutch and for Sammy, you know. But how do we have these guys that are in between that are helping sort of dumb it down and keep it on the main things? And, yeah, it's been really neat to have Hank in our room and Hank in the bullpen and then him kind of bring that in between from our pitchers and our catchers.
Andrew, sorry, this is like a hypothetical question. I don't know if this is ever going to be a case, but do you think, like, in terms of keeping pitchers healthy, that 13 is the right number on a roster, or do you see a future in which there are more active pitchers on a roster?
I've never understood why a GM and a manager can't make the roster what they want the roster to be. You know, if you're like the Braves teams of old, like you're just playing the same nine guys every day, you're just paying four guys to sit on the bench and do absolutely nothing, you know, where you may have an extra long guy down there and able to take care of some of your guys a little bit more. We could also standardize the schedule, you know, to a point. I don't understand why the minor league schedule was you play 3 weeks in a row before your first off day, but in the big leagues you're playing one game and you're getting an off day. And now we're at this place where we're playing six in a row in the minor leagues and then have a standard off day every single week. But, you know, there's stretches of 12, 15, 18, 20 for us during the year. So having guys develop as they come up through the minor leagues and then feeling the same things once they get to the big leagues, that's never been synonymous with each other. So, you know, I think there's a couple of really, really easy roads for us, just easy decisions that we could potentially make that might alleviate some of these injuries on the pitching front. Thanks, guys.